happening, either positively or negatively. My prayer is that we will be positive as we live for Christ and we shine the light of Christ around the world, all over. You know, this is the age when if you preach the gospel, you will be termed to be intolerant. You will be persecuted. You will be said to be insensitive. And you will be given all kinds of names. But honestly, that means that we are winning in the sense that they did it to Christ and the prophets. And I am happy that they are beginning to do it to us. And we will win. And we will win the battle, the moral battle that is in this nation and in the nations of the world. Whether they think there is absolutes or not, they will soon know that there are absolutes and that God is on the throne and all his enemies will be scattered. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much for that big amen. Because if you come from Nigeria, that's a very weak amen.
We'll try to do better.
I'm happy that Christ fulfills his promises towards us, doesn't he?
Yes.
He does. He does all the time. And I have bad news for you. You can't keep your former policies with the devil.
Praise God.
You can't migrate it.
Praise God.
Is that bad news?
No.
No. Oh, that's good news. So you could keep your former insurance, you know, but you can't keep your former policies with the devil. The devil is on the loose. And he is going to be the big, great loser in the end. Back home, we have a lot to share about, but I will just be brief. We've had Islamic insurgencies paralyzing activities in a section of the country. That's not the place Jack is going to. But he will feel a little bit of that problem when he goes. About 3 of the 36 states in the country have what we call a state of emergency declared. And the military is there. They're bombing, they're killing, they're doing unspeakable things. All in the name of defending the Federal Republic of Nigeria. Many times I wonder really whether there's anything to defend there. Because we pray more now when the Muslims have started to come against us. So the church is praying more. And I think anything that makes you pray more is good for you. We pray more and people are more cautious. There is a bigger commitment in one way or the other, but we still have a big problem. You know, when I learned that your government shut down here for how many weeks? 3 weeks?
Yeah.
2 only? Okay. Only 2 weeks? My government has been shut down for years.
Nobody's making any noise about that because my children
in the university, I have 2 children, 1 23, the other 21. They've been at home for 6 months. The whole session is gone. You know, just truncating their education in the middle because there's a disagreement between the lecturers' union and the government. We don't have a government. And I know that governments around the world generally are a waste. I can't wait for Jesus Christ to come back.
Amen.
and have us in his kingdom forever. This is a generation when the most evil people suddenly start to look righteous. Even Russia is looking so righteous a nation these days that I wonder what America will be praying about Russia. Russians are saying we don't want same-sex marriages. Americans are saying we want it. That is freedom. It is intolerance not to be able to have people like that come in and have sports on your land. You know, it's a shame. It's a shame. I just whispered into Jack's ear this morning that, do you know you're going back to Nigeria for a corrective surgery? Because the gospel came to us from the West. We didn't know anything about the gospel. We were savage people. We were head hunters. We are the people you will term to today as unrich tribes, you know, in the most derogative way you could term it. And rightly so, too. But we have the gospel today, and we are taking the gospel back to the West. However, what we have is another story altogether. You know the story, the parable in the Bible? When you have your farm, and in the night some guys come and plant some tares in it, and then you wake up and you find out that your entire farm is no longer recognizable. And the scripture says, allow both to grow, you know. And at the time of harvest, what do? You pick the right things. But we can't allow that to happen. Because if we do that, millions will go to hell. And we don't want that. So we, rather than allow it to happen, we will lose a lot of people. If we allow it to happen, we will lose a lot of people, even within the church. The very elect will be taken away. The very good choices of people that are needed for the harvest will be taken away by winds of false doctrine. Anyway, let me show you something this morning. I just want to show you a section of the Nigerian church. It's not the whole picture. I just want to show you one church, okay? One church that is 1 kilometer long. Okay, do you know what 1 kilometer length? I'll show you that, and then I will go into some other discussions. Adam, thank you. Now, this is a public report.
Looks like this Redeemed Christian Church of God auditorium is 2 kilometers long and 1 kilometer wide.
That is wrong. It's 1 kilometer.
It prides itself with holding the biggest gathering of Christians on earth. 70-year-old preacher Dr. Enoch Adeboye heads the church, believing that churches should be as common as coffee shops. He opened parishes in 160 countries across the world. And as Adeboye takes the stage to begin a 4-hour sermon, he rouses the crowd with a passionate prayer. Most here have come to see him and listen to his preaching.
Coming to knowing him is one of the greatest things that ever happened to me as a Christian. He's a wonderful man.
The God who made a covenant with Daddy Adeboye is always here to fulfill the work for him. And he's doing it for him. He's the helper of Daddy Adeboye. The God Almighty has never failed.
Overcome by the spirit and the music, some lie flat on the floor.
Once every month, thousands of worshippers flock to Dr. Adeboye's church seeking the miracles he promises. They come from all corners of Nigeria as well as from outside the country.
Many of them are here to seek a release from the harsh economic realities.
If these people were not getting their miracles, by now they would have stopped coming. If you listen to some of the testimonies, miracles of healings, miracles of deliverance, miracles of childbirth, miracles of success in academics, etc., etc.
Today, miracle preaching is the shortest path to wealth in Nigeria. Preachers and heads of churches have joined the ranks of Nigeria's wealthiest. Pastor Adeboye himself has a palatial home and a private jet, among other luxury items.
There are things you need which you must have if you are to be efficient.
And a private jet is one of them.
Oh, when you have to oversee churches in 160 nations, you can't do that on a bicycle.
At a certain point in the night, hundreds of young men, women, and children ran to the stage area to be prayed for. More and more Nigerians are convincing themselves that their government has gone to sleep. And so, to the pastors, they rush for help. Mohammed Ado, Al Jazeera, Lagos, Nigeria.
Did you hear the presenter? What's his name? This is a public presentation by Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera is a news agency like CNN and so on. And you heard the General Overseer's speech. You see, our work is not primarily to criticize individuals, but we must need criticize strategies, because you heard everything. Did you hear anything about salvation? Do you want me to play it again? Did you hear anything about salvation? Test every spirit. Presentation wonderful, huge setup, a lot of money, a lot of energy does not bring about the righteousness of God. Amen. So that was why I was telling Jack that you people brought the gospel for us. You also brought some bad gospel. So you go back now and do a reconstruction surgery on the people. Sounds funny, but it's serious work. It's serious work. The Bible tells us that the laborers are few. The harvest is what? Ripe. But the laborers are few. You tell me why the laborers are few? Because of things like this. Maybe you have taken time to analyze the problem of America, why the laborers are few here. One of the reasons is that everybody is owing somebody, and you can't run away to the mission field with your debt. So you have to be careful what you take on and keep owing. Because the day the Lord is going to call you to missions, you must be ready to go. And that day might be today. And we may help you with your debt if you are interested. The time to go out is now, not tomorrow. And who says that this is the place you're supposed to be? All true. You know, when you plant a seed in a nursery, and it stays in the nursery, for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, and 2 years, is still in the nursery. And 3 years is still in the nursery. In fact, the plant now prides itself as one of the oldies in the nursery. You see, there is a problem. There is a problem. The farmer is not proud. Who is the farmer? Who is the farmer here? It's an illustration. God is our Father is the farmer. Plants are not supposed to remain in the greenhouse. They overgrow staying in the greenhouse. And they start to do what? They start to have a negative growth. They become big but very weak stem, because they've not been let to be open. You know, I don't know if we have farmers here. You understand what I'm saying. But when you take it out and plant it where it should be, either by the streams of waters, you will see that this plant will be strong and it will bear fruit. I want to make some categorical statements. I hope I'll be forgiven for it, but I don't care anyway. You people are putting little pressure on the leadership of this church. You are bothering, this is what I mean. I know you are all ears now. You know, you are bothering the leadership of the church with insignificant things. No, you don't understand. When you're supposed to be eating bones, you know, like the Nigerian will eat bones, you know, and meat, you be busy asking for milk to drink. First year, second year, third year, fourth year, you're still drinking milk. You're not going to grow. And you're filled with fear. What is going to happen to me? You've designed your life, how your life will be. So God cannot make a mistake calling you to the mission field. You've settled down and said, I am old, I can't go anywhere. Oh, let's go back into the scriptures and see the age of those men that God used. You will know there is no old age. How old is God? Please, let me ask you the question. Is he very old? Ancient of days. I like that. You know, he's old. Right? So, your picture of God is a gray-haired. I'm beginning to get gray-haired. That I didn't tell you. That's a new future. You know, you have gray hair and then maybe not being able to walk very well, you know, and moves like a chief, you know. And is that your picture of God?
He's not tired.
He's not tired. He's ever strong. And if you have an ailment, you can glorify God in those things that you have. It is not a handicap. You're not handicapped. You may choose what you want to do, but that doesn't make you handicapped at such a level that you cannot serve God well. I think God is a youth. What does youthfulness signify for you?
Energy.
Exuberance. Energy. Somebody who is always creating things, okay? And creating new things every day, you know? He's never tired of creating. They just discovered a new galaxy. Did you hear that? Can you imagine they just discovered a new galaxy? Did they know all the other galaxies they have not seen? They've just stumbled on a new galaxy. It's different from our own galaxy, which is the Milky Way galaxy. Is that what we call our galaxy? You know? And they said they saw something like the Earth. You know, it has water. You know? Let me tell you a secret. Do you know what they are looking for up there?
Life.
No. Yes, they're looking for life. They are looking for something to discredit the gospel. And they won't find. You see, at first, discrediting the gospel was, we all evolved, okay? We came about by an explosion in the cosmic fiber of the universe. You know, just say something swelling and big, you know? That is how we came about. And the question is, how come we have not evolved again? You know? And then when you punch the story of evolution, when the story of evolution appears as if it's being punched, they started talking about aliens, you know, that they saw unidentified flying objects, you know, and they were aliens. Nobody told us that it was Area 51 testing some of the newly stealth bombers that America was making. Nobody was telling us all of those stories. But it was a UFO strengthening. Have you ever been to the Air Force base in recent times? You know, and see some of these planes get up as if they are, a grasshopper or something. You know, planes shape you've never seen before. The latest is the stealth bombers that are not seen at all on the radar. You need to go out there and see some of these things and not rely on your children's toys, you know, to see them, you know. They said it was UFO. So the people of this world are interested in discrediting everything about godliness. And our responsibility to that is to tell them they really don't know. Oh, the depth of the riches and of the glory of God. How unsearchable. And his ways are past finding out. For of him and to him and through him are all things. God is bigger than our imaginations, my brethren. Yeah, that is why they can never win. We are on the winning side. Amen. To be on the winning side is for you to mount up with wings like an eagle and fly. Not to be cowered into by fear and by all kinds of imaginations that we have given to ourselves. You see, I love the special forces. I'm sure, is there anybody who has been in the military here? Thank you. You will understand what I'm talking about. You know, the special forces, they are picked from the big army, right? And then they're taken as recruits, second level recruits, you know, and then they are brought up and given special training. And when there is a difficult task, we look for the special forces, okay? When it was time to fish out Ibn Laden, we looked for the special forces. We found the SEALs, and they went in and did a neat operation and came out. I think I respect the Delta forces more because you never know what they're doing, and they never tell you what they did. They're not talking about, you know, glory to themselves. They're fighting to defend the country, and they don't care whose horse is God, and they are very secretive about what they do. I love that. I like that because it takes some special skills to be able to do that. You know, why am I talking like this? During the Falkland War, Britain wanted to stretch his muscles and to show that they are still to be reckoned with. They moved forces all the way from England to South America, to that small island. What was the island's name? Falkland Island. They moved all those huge machinery across the ocean. By the time they got to the site of Falkland Island, do you know what they did? They dropped men in the ocean, frogmen in the ocean. Those were the people that took over Falkland Island. They made a beachhead on the island before the ships now came into anchor. Special forces. For some reasons, I see in the in the church some special forces that God has raised up in our time to make beachhead into the unreached peoples of our world and bring them down. You may bring them down by praying. You are a special force. You are like the artillery. You don't move into the battlefront. You just shell from a comfortable place. You know? Or you could be those who actually are involved with research, finding out the information, and doing whatever. Why I said the other time that you are bringing some not too right pressure on our leadership in the church. It doesn't only happen in this church, it's a global thing. We are expecting too much from the leadership. Okay, you still don't understand what I'm saying. Okay, let me put it in another way. We are expecting when we come to worship that the music group will lead us into worship, okay? And they take us to a height in worship. That is wrong. That is wrong. Because you should have finished the issues of your relationship with God before you come to the church. Amen. You know, you should have gotten to a height before you come to the church. And everybody in his good relationship with God comes together to the church. Huh? What are we going to do? We will push the leaders into action if they are not acting. Because we all come with our ministries. You understand? We will push them to send us if they don't want to send us. I know you don't like what I'm saying. Let me say it again in another nice way, okay? Yeah. When we allow the Spirit of the Lord to overtake us individually, our collective relationship and fellowship will force us to another level, to a higher level. You still don't agree with that. Now let me blow your mind with the next statement. Missions is not the highest thing for the it's not the highest responsibility of the church. Now you're struggling with that. Worship is. And it's not the worship we come together and sing that I'm talking about. It's the individual worship of God. You discover God. I love your open fellowship. I love it. Very few places this is practiced. But do you know what? If you come with your individual growth with the Lord, that is high up there, you know, and powerful, you come into the fellowship, you will push us further up. And that is what we're waiting for. The leadership can only do this much. They recognize your gift, they encourage you in it, but your walk with the Lord, you have to do it yourself. That is what we call the priesthood of every believer. Amen. Is that true? Amen. Yeah. In this priesthood, we as priests individually, make oblation to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We don't need any in between. Is it true? Well, it used to be before the Reformation, when we had the divisions, okay? Various divisions in the church. Those divisions actually came from the world. They're not from God. Because it's clear what Jesus Christ did. And in the height of the corruption of the priests, they made the Bible only in Latin, so that nobody else read the Bible except the priest. Amen. So if you have a problem, you have to go to them. You know, you commit a sin, you have to go to them to ask them to entreat God on your behalf so that your sins will be forgiven. It took the Reformation. Amen. At the Reformation, they read the Bible, okay, and they said, what? Why are they asking us to come and confess to them? They opened and read, another person said, what? What's happening? This is wrong. And they said, we would rather obey God than men. And they carried their candles and they sang, Almighty Fortress is... They sang out of the church to the street corners. And that began a new order. It was compromised also. Even that order became compromised. Just like you have your computer compromised by hijackers just in the air you never see. And they created some things that are new into the church. Every time the church is on the move, there is always a plan of the enemy to stall that movement. And it will come through anything. Now, I just showed you the Nigerian picture. A lot of people, when you ask for people to come to a meeting, there will be a large crowd. You ask them, what are you going there for? We want to be blessed. Okay? Who doesn't want to be blessed here? Everybody's looking for blessings, right? You know, you want blessings. In fact, many times you think your own issue is the main issue and you make it so. And everybody run around you to make that so. Meanwhile, you could actually take up the pressure from yourself and look at other people's problems and solve it. And as you solve it, God's principle is so clear, your own problems will be forgotten. And it will be solved also. Let each one think not of his own things, but the things of the other people, you know, so that they will be blessed, and as they are getting blessed, you will be blessed. So people rush in for miracles. They rush for miracles. It's interesting what Jesus Christ said about miracles. You know, very interesting. Apart from that, the leaders, I just showed you one church group. I didn't show you another. They concentrate only on prosperity teachings. And when I look at the Bible, I see Paul's prosperity. It amazes me. In shipwreck often. Those are his prosperity times, you know. You know, in the hands of false brethren. You know, being flogged, you know, and imprisonment, you know, in hardship, you know. In those times he went through, God was glorified. And God gave him the grace to go through those things. But when we see what is happening today, we discover that a lot of our preachers are the ones that are receiving the blessings. The people who are following them are wallowing in poverty. You know, my large mouth one day made me to approach a bishop, and I asked him, I was speaking very humbly. I said, "Sir, this ministry you are doing is such a great ministry. If you will just come with me, let us go to a nearby unreached people group, and I will make sure we preach through interpreters, and you will bless these people so that poverty will leave them, so that they will become prosperous, and that will form a great news around the world because nobody else have done this." He looked at me and smiled. He said, "Me, I'm not going. That is not my ministry." You know? Why? Because prosperity doctrine only in its excesses, only prospers when there are rich people around. So where there are poor farmers, you can preach it for 100 years. It will not, even when they give all their farm produce, all put together, cannot buy an executive jet. So some logical things that way. I also had a very interesting experience. One of these big leaders had overbuilt his property, and we owned the next property. So he wanted to purchase it, and we refused because we said we also needed it. So they have to, you know, they always win, you know. They always win. So they made sure they got the government to revoke our certificate of occupancy for that land. But you see, the fool is caught in his own snare. You understand? As that certificate was revoked, the government came, supposedly. It wasn't government, because government didn't have such minute interest. You know, it was them who pushed the government office to dispose of the property, because they said we have not developed it for many years, and we had a building on it. They said the building was small compared to the largeness of the land. They had some rules they pulled out somewhere. So everything was sold, and I was like, "Hey, what's happening?" They now came and balkanized it, you know, different buyers, okay, took up the land. While they were doing all of that, they didn't know that God was really going to fight for us. They now, one of the plots, just one of the plots was bought by the husband of the chief lands officer for the state, which was wrong in the first place. And he sold it to somebody else, and this person was a Christian. He went to a fellowship meeting, and they said, the Capro land has been taken over, you know, and let's pray. So he said, "Where is the land?" He said, "I just bought a piece of property there." So when he said that, he came back to us and confirmed it was true. Then he went back to the man to collect his money back. And the man said, "No, he has already purchased it." No. So he went to court. And the court ordered that man to pay him back his money. So he paid it. That was our alibi in court. We now went to court and said, "Is it in public interest for the chief lands officer to confiscate public property, for the individual and personal properties, and convert them to family use. You understand? Because her husband was one of those who benefited from it. That was the whole. The enemy did not see. You know? They gave us back every inch of that property. We got it back. They were caught in their own snare. You know, I'm saying these things because you need to understand the kind of people we are dealing with. A man gave his car to the church because they said he was going to get a brand new car. After 2 months he's been trekking around the city, he said to himself, even his old car was doing him much good than this one. He got some counseling and he went back to retrieve his vehicle from the church. And they put a curse on him that is wrong. You don't retrieve back gifts you give to the church. Yes, it sounds right. But they said, if you do that, you will not prosper again. He said, I want to just prosper with my car. I just want to live with my vehicle. So he moved out with his rickety old vehicle and started enjoying his life again. You know, people have been confused. People have been confused. And I'm saying that the people also have put a lot of pressure on the preachers to deliver miracles. And when they don't deliver it, they are looked onto as people who are not performing. And so the leaders also have risen up and they have multiplied their tricks in doing miracles and performing things. You know, they raised funds and said, well, our church people need to benefit from this university, so we need your money. So the people brought their monies and the university was built. When they now applied to enter the university for their children, the money was so high, was 4 times higher than the government universities. And the church member said, okay, it's our church anyway. Can't we get some scholarship? No. So they said, well, when you wanted to build these universities, you told us you were building it for us. Now we can't get into it. These are some of the ills you get from prosperity teaching. I know you have some of this here. You actually sold it to us. Okay, we bought it too, so it's our responsibility. So you have to come back now and do corrective surgery because we are not getting more missionaries to go out. People are locked into seeking for personal glories. People are locked into demanding things that are inordinate. People have lost the issue of the vision of the church to reach out to the nations. And that's why I'm coming here again. We also are moving on a thread. You know, we're moving on a tiny line. And we may also be going astray without knowing it. Because we could all come into church and we all worship. But deep down within us, there are things happening nobody knows about. That is the strength of the church. If that issue is resolved down there, it makes the chain to be stronger. If it's not resolved and it's covered up here and quoted and eyesed, and made to look nice at Thanksgiving, we will not be able to solve the problems. Missionaries are still not going out. One of the marks of a revival is the fact that people are going out. Brethren, the word is, go ye therefore. It is not stay ye therefore. Go means go in every language. Amen. When are you going? That should be the question. Not am I called to go? You should be asking yourself, when am I going? When will it be that I will go? And then you should be putting pressure on the leadership to train you and make you make sure that your gifts are sharpened and prepare you for the mission field. You're not supposed to be prepared just to stay here and die. You will die anyway, whether you like it or not. Brethren, we need more people on the field. We need more people out there reaching the nations. The nations are crying for help. See, let me tell you the truth. Some of the unreached people groups we are discovering are not asking us for money. They are not asking you for wealth. They are saying, what must we do to be saved? What must we do to be saved? Will God be happy with us as we are? Can we come to God with nothing? Can we worship God in our own language? Thank God that some people are going. They are going in a tiny small chip with the Bible inside. When are you going? When will you go? Please ask yourself that question. I want to hear you asking yourself, when will I go? Let me hear you say it. It's not a nice thing to say. When will I go? Can I hear you say it? Good. That is the question you should wake up every morning to be asking yourself. And come ask our leaders. Don't give them rest. Ask them. They know when you should go. You know, but if you never ask them, they will never prepare you. And they may not even know that you even have a calling. You know, it is not... I know that there are ministries that we could do back home. You know, within the church, ministry within the church, how sweet. But that's not the end. The church is a seedbed. And from the seedbed, you need to be transplanted. If you don't want to be a missionary, for God's sake, come and get a job somewhere and shine your light. And don't just stay home. God is calling some of you, and I know. But you've been so comfortable and at ease in Zion. It is not the will of God. The will of God for the local church is that the local church will be a light to the nations. You know, taking the gospel to the nations of the world. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's beginning to get cold in here. Praise the Lord. Okay, I'll stop preaching now. Please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. You know this scripture very well. Endure hardship. Verse 7. Hebrews 12, 7. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. I have another scripture for you in Luke. Luke chapter 13 scripture has been, people normally preach on it for people to get saved, okay? But I want to ask a question when I finish reading. Acts 13, 22. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? He said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you, or where you come from. 26. Then you will say, we ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets. But he will reply, I don't know you, or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth. When you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourself thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south, and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last. Praise the Lord. You see, first of all, we saw the harvest of righteousness. And that is what I've been trying to prove to us. The harvest of righteousness in our lives. Allow God to walk through you. Open your heart so that God can reach you. And reach out to God. And then be able to use the strength that you have, the righteous position that you now possess, to reach others. Otherwise, everything you're doing will kind of die if you just focus within yourself alone. I pray the Lord will help us to see this. Truly, it can be difficult, and it will be difficult. A dear brother was sharing with me, Silas is his name. He was in the Maiduguri is the name of the place in Borno State, one of the states I told you that they've just declared a state of emergency. And he said, Brother Nii, I, with my own hands, buried 26 Christians because they were killed and left on the streets. And at night, I will risk my life just to carry them away and bury them. That I can show you all where I buried those people. I was so moved by it, you know, and I had to be praying for him, you know, because that could affect you psychologically, you know. We will go through difficult times, and more difficult times are coming. They are coming. They will meet you anyway, wherever you are. So it's better you be in the right place where God wants you to be. I know there are people here this morning that know deep down in their hearts that God will want them to serve in a cross-cultural situation someday, but do not know what to do. Maybe you are one of those people, and I want to pray with you this morning. This is no joking matter, because the Bible says, Christ said to us in his word that we should pray to him. He will release laborers onto the harvest field. We're praying. And if we are praying, many times we are the answers to those prayers. Because God will not mobilize people from outside the church, will he? He will not. Is God calling you? Is God calling you? Do you want me to pray for you? Or the church to pray for you? If you know the Lord is calling you, just stand up where you are, and I'll ask one of the elders to come and pray for you. It's not about what... This is not the time to start analyzing your economic situation. If the Lord speaks to you, just stand up where you are, and God will do a new thing with your life. God will do a new thing with your life. You may not even know where he's going to send you. You may not know exactly the mode of this kind of ministry, you know. God will do it. If you are presently here and you are struggling with that decision, stand up also. Yeah. If you have a struggle on the decision, I'm not saying you are going, okay? Stand up also. Thank you very much for being honest. Thank you. Thank you. I'm happy that the church is here seeing you. Because this is your church. They cannot deny you. If they do, God will not deny you. When the church denied the early missionaries, did they stay home? No. They went. And that's why India today has the gospel to some extent. Brother Jack, please, I would like you to come and pray and ask the Lord to minister to these two groups of people. God has a plan for them.
Can I just invite you to come? It's okay. We're family. We'll pray.
You know, when somebody goes, even if it's to another part of Dallas, you know, it's not just them that go. If they're part of us, we go with them. Amen? I was talking to some brothers yesterday about things that we worry about in terms of going. We worry about money, don't we? That's what we think. Okay, how am I going to live? And I reminded myself that I would rather have five people praying for me every day when I go somewhere than I would have five people giving me $1,000 a month. If I had to choose between the two, I would choose the people who pray. And every one of us can be praying for these that are here. And for each other. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we know what you've been saying to us as a church, that we should be expanding your kingdom, Lord. Lord, and we need to expand it here. And we need to expand it there. And Lord, you have filled this city with people from all over the world, over 200 languages being spoken. All around us. Lord, you've brought the world to us. We wouldn't go, so you brought the world to us. And still we stay home. God, I pray that you would break our hearts. Lord, let us see what you see. Lord, I pray for these. First, I pray for those who know that you're calling them to go. And they know that at some point, they're going to step out into a new phase of service to you, Lord. Lord, I want to ask you, first of all, that they'll be faithful now. Lord, that they won't let the world crowd out their worship of you. Lord, that they will find in their closet, in their inner life, that they will find your presence there. That they will learn to hear your voice. And most of all, Lord, that when we hear your voice, we'll obey what you're saying to us, Lord. We'll take every step that you tell us to take, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would make clear the path for these. Father, I pray for those who are aware that you're calling, that they're not sure what you're saying. Lord, I pray that you would, again, draw them close to you, Lord. Let them know your presence. Lord, let them know the power of your Spirit in their inner life, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd make them fruitful where they are. Lord, that their priority would not be the things of this life. That they would not be entangled, Lord. Lord, if there's debt in our life, Lord, I pray you deliver us from that. May we be severe in our willingness to rid ourselves of every entanglement in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for these that you will give them clarity. Lord, that they would begin to understand what you're calling them to. And Lord, how to prepare. And then I pray, Lord, for the leaders of this congregation. Lord, that we are charged to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Lord, that we would know how to do that. Lord, by teaching, by prophesying, by shepherding, by training, by pushing them into the work that you've called them to. Father, this is your kingdom. This is your work. And you said to pray for laborers. I pray that everyone standing here this morning, we'll daily pray to you, the Lord of harvest, to send forth laborers into your harvest. Lord, I pray that you would cause us to be faithful in prayer as a church. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're dismissed.